Welcome to the E-Commerce Mindset Podcast. Your host, Liron Hirschhorn, here with you. It's been some time since I've put out an episode, but I'm happy to be back recording on the podcast. The podcast is always sponsored by Incrementum Digital. We are in the midst of rolling out our client dashboards. We're really excited about that. Our clients will have the ability to log in, see all their data, sales, profits, toggles, ACOS, a lot of interesting insights from the Amazon Marketing Cloud, DSP, something we're really excited about. It's phase one. Phase two will hopefully bring in the Jungle Scout API and additional data, and maybe one day roll that out to non-clients. But the focus today is making insights better for our managers who are managing accounts, as well as our clients have better reporting and access to data. I'll talk a little bit more about AMC a little bit further in the show. The podcast is also sponsored by 8fig, 8fig.co or 8fig.com, I think you can use now as well, is a solution for growth capital. And congrats to 8fig. They just raised a Series B, $140 million raise. I think $100 million of that is going towards funding sellers, $40 million to continue to build out their technology and operations. And great success, very challenging times, you must imagine, currently to raise capital. It was an up round over their A round raise, which is also a big win. It's a testament to the success of the company. And there's still a lot of work to do. And if you are looking for growth capital for your business, check out 8fig.co. This episode's going to be kind of like me chatting with you. I'm going to be sharing some recent things I found interesting in our space. And at the end, I'll share an interesting write-up. I saw somebody write about the difference between people that are, you know, eight-figure entrepreneurs, 10 million plus versus those that are below. And I think you'll find that that interesting. Also, I was recently on a podcast called the Our Tribe podcast. Kind of has nothing to do with Amazon, but I spoke a little bit about my journey over the last several years of growth and how that's and spirituality and how that's impacted my business, my family. So there is some business life tips there. If you are interested a little bit in my personal journey, you can check out the Our Tribe podcast and look at the recent episodes on there. Also, just came back from Barcelona. We have a team in Eastern Europe, and we flew out some of that team to meet in Barcelona, about 10 people from Eastern Europe, and four of us from the US. Went over there for 3 days of a combination of co-working, training, presentations, as well as team building activities and having some fun together, getting to know each other. Was not only a great opportunity for me to meet people on our team that have been working for us for 2 years plus, but also for them to meet each other and to have a really great experience networking, meeting, learning, and having a good time. And I think culture is a really important aspect to building a great company that people want to work for, not just that they have to work for or are stuck in. And highly encourage you, if you have the opportunity, to meet your team in person, if they're remote, or even if some are in person and some are remote, to get those teams together. And to prepare some experiences together. We did an outdoor escape room. We divided in three different teams. You have to strategize together, etc. And then we also took co-working space and did training, learning, sharing, etc. Went out to dinners. It was a great experience, and highly recommend focusing on culture in your company if you have a team. Other things that are going on. As well, there's consolidation happening among aggregators. I posted a Bloomberg article that came out a couple of weeks ago about a story that said there were about 15 aggregators or members from aggregators at Prosper meeting in a closed room to talk about what they're going to do moving forward. A lot of them are facing challenges because most of the money they raised was in the form of debt, not equity, which means they have to pay that money back. Interest rates have gone up. The cost of money is more expensive. You know, we're dealing with a more challenging time in the economy, certainly after the crazy amount of buying that happened during the pandemic, and they're facing challenges in operating the business. So just this week was announced that D1 Brands and Sumo Brands are joining forces to form a new or merging under a new name called the Amber Group. I think we're going to continue to see that, and probably a small amount of players left, a handful of players left. Some will get bought, others might not get bought and ultimately have to shut down. And probably, you know, a few will survive. To me, the question is, you know, if you're joining two forces together that each one was not successful, you know, how does that change when two of those four form together? But obviously, I wish everybody success. I think the aggregator space is a challenging one. There are benefits to sellers. If aggregators do well, multiples can go up, which is beneficial. At the same time, you're competing with deep pockets, but you know, that sometimes do things that you wouldn't do as a seller, like cut prices really low to gain reviews, et cetera. They can maybe afford to do that, even though it's actually not a smart move, and they're competing with you. So I think we're going to continue to see this consolidation happening in the space. The death of the keyword. This was an article I saw somebody write that I shared on LinkedIn. I will be sharing some of the articles and things that I mentioned here. I'll be sharing in the show notes, so take a look at that, or on YouTube in the description. So look out for those links if you want to read further. But this article was about the death of the keyword, and you know, search on Google is changing, right? It's going to change because of AI and what's happening. So Amazon as well. There was an article this week posted that Amazon has been putting out hiring for roles around AI. Learning language models, and basically the search the search model is going to be transformed. Somebody won't just search for a 42-inch TV, but they'll search for a 42-inch TV. Show me 42-inch TVs with picture-in-picture whatever the features are, LCD, and are produced by major brands, and you'll get the results with that. And different placements would be than somebody who was just searching for a 42-inch TV. And I think it's really going to transform search. Ultimately, probably it's going to make people change how they write their listings as a result, more like the natural language model, as opposed to maybe keyword stuffing. We'll have to see, but I predict that this is what we're going to see on Amazon. There'll be new ad placements. There'll just be kind of new things in general that are that we're not seeing now in the search results, and the search results will be completely transformed from where they are today. I can see comparison charts. I can see just so many different things that you would have by utilizing this AI model versus the keyword model. So it was a great article about the death of a keyword, along with the same time about Amazon hiring for these roles. Other news, Shine is opening up its marketplace. So really interesting. Shine is kind of a disruptor in the retail e-commerce space. They just opened up marketplace. Anchor is already selling on there and selling cheaper than they're selling on Amazon. Shine is opening offices in LA. So, you know, a lot of people have thought maybe Walmart will compete with Amazon. I don't necessarily see that, but maybe it's somebody totally different. Maybe it's a company like Shine. TikTok also opened up their shops. You can now set up a shop on TikTok. People are going live and selling through live. I've spoken to some people that are having success by going live. But what I've learned is that you need to go live for hours and hours at a time, because that's kind of just how it works on TikTok. You're there for a lot of time. People come in, people come out. They also need to see you over and over again. So you need to have somebody doing, you know, multiple hours on a weekly basis and on a monthly basis in order to see success with live, as far as I've learned so far. But could be that TikTok and Shine disrupt Amazon and compete much more than Walmart. So something to look out for as far as, you know, potentially joining Shine as a marketplace. I think Shine is going to shift from being sort of known for fashion to probably having everything. And it's kind of like Amazon. I think, you know, Amazon started as a bookstore, and now they're the everything store. And I already went, you know, I went on Shine to kind of look around. I don't typically shop there, but I went on there, and there's kind of products already from multiple different categories that are outside of fashion. So it will be interesting to see how that plays out. I've done some presentations recently about the Amazon Marketing Cloud. I think this will massively shift the way that we view metrics around Amazon and Amazon advertising today. We're viewing things on a TACOS or ROAS ACOS basis. I think what you're going to look at is more around the customer journey. So for those that don't know, a Amazon Marketing Cloud is basically what's called a clean room. It allows you to have all the data, but it's anonymized. So it has privacy and kind of replaces the cookie, because cookies are kind of going away due to privacy concerns. So it allows you to have all this data around pretty much everything in this clean room. And then it's like what you extract from that data. You can extract anything from that data. So what does that mean for Amazon advertising? It means you'll be able to understand not just last click attribution. And that's what we have today, last click attribution. Somebody searches for your product, clicks on sponsored product, buys, okay, it gets attributed to sponsored products. But what happens if that person searches for your product, clicks on sponsored brand, looks at it, comes back, does another search, clicks on your sponsored product and buys? The attribution only goes to sponsored products, not sponsored brands. Sponsored brands looks like wasted spend. And the same with DSP. With DSP, if you have top of funnel type targeting, audience targeting, and bottom of the funnel retargeting, somebody could start from seeing an ad that was targeted to the audience, go to your listing, then they get retargeted, they buy. Attribution only goes to the retargeting and not the top of the funnel. So AMC will show you the path to conversion, okay? Which means that you will see, okay, this month I had 700 people who purchased my product, and the path to conversion was search my brand name, click on sponsored brand ad, clicked on sponsored product ad, saw retargeting ad, purchased. You're like, wow, okay, now I see how these three ads work together and the benefit of having multiple ads, even though attribution only goes to one of them. So really exciting. We are adding AMC data to our dashboards. There's definitely today, I would say, a higher cost for AMC data than you will see in about 6 months or a year, because the API kind of just opened up. And more companies, including ourselves, are figuring out how to automate the data. And what I predict you will see is some sort of templates of data that are available for free with certain tools. And then any custom or additional stuff will be at a cost, because you have to basically query that data in SQL. And it does take time. Today, there's several people that are offering AMC data. It's more expensive than it will be, because today a lot of it is manual work. But look out for, you know, what I'm saying and utilizing it, especially if you are running DSP, and running DSP at higher budgets, it's valuable to consider getting that AMC data. You can reach out to me or email if you want to know if you're a good kind of candidate for that in general. I can give you some advice around it. In other news, Shopify comes out and sells their robotics company that they bought. I think it was called Riverside. They're selling Deliver, which they bought during the pandemic for like $1 billion. Shopify kind of made the mistake of losing focus. And I think it's something that we as entrepreneurs are very quick to sometimes do. We see opportunity, but we should really be seeing a distraction, and we should go deep and focus on our kind of core business. And Shopify's core business is the platform and the software that they have. And they, I think, realized that being in the fulfillment and warehouse business was not their core business. And they're selling that. Their stock went up as a result. And I think this opens up a more opportunity to do a deal with Amazon for example, around promoting things like Buy with Prime, which basically is a button that Shopify or any D2C site owner can put on their website, allows a Prime customer to get 1 to 2 day shipping on their website, and the fulfillment happens from Amazon. The downside currently is the cart is not as good as it should be. Amazon is working on it. But now I think Shopify will make a deal. They'll get a cut of those fees that Amazon takes, 3% fee on the sale, plus a fulfillment fee, plus a merchant processing fee. You know, maybe Shopify will then promote it. I also see Shopify ultimately turning into a search engine, even though they've said for years they're not going to do that. But I think really in order to have more value and to make advertising revenue, creating that on their app kind of makes a lot of sense. We put out an updated version. Mansoor on our team put out an updated version of our SUPA template, the search query performance data template, now with video instructions on it for Google Data Studio. I will share the link to that in the show notes if you want to get it. It's free and it's very useful. If you don't know a lot about it, go to the link and check it out. It gives you a lot of great data around your on a keyword level, around your impressions, click share, purchase share, at the cart, a lot of great data, and you can do a lot of A/B testing and measure the before and after. And we show you a template that's better displaying your data in a better way than what Amazon gives you week over week data. Another interesting news topic, Pinterest announces partnership with Amazon Ads. I think this is something that's going to kind of come to fruition more towards the end of this year, beginning of next year. But basically, I think Pinterest has lost some steam because of Reels and TikTok type videos. And they're trying to kind of find more revenue sources. They made a deal with Amazon, which will have ads on Pinterest, probably like shoppable type of ads. You'll be able to put an image or a video and you'll click and it takes you directly to the listing with like a sponsored post. Very interesting. It's the first social media platform to kind of make a partnership with Amazon. So this should be, interesting. Few other things that I want to share with you. I'll be in Austin May 30th and 31st for Growth Labs. If you're there, would love to meet you. And I will be around June 1st for the first day of SellerCon. I'm going to be staying in Austin that day. So if you're around, I'll be there as well. And the last thing I wanted to share with you is this post that that I saw posted on Twitter. I'll read you the post. It's by a guy named Dickie Bush at Dickie Bush, D-I-C-K-I-E-B-U-S-H. Here's what he wrote. I paid $68,000 to join a mastermind. At first, I feared it was a complete money bonfire, but this weekend, we had an in-person event, a packed resort with entrepreneurs making millions of dollars per year, and I walked away with these seven unexpected but valuable takeaways. I'll group the seven takeaways into buckets. Three of them are about those making $10 million a year and how they operate differently. And by the way, just a side note, this is not in the Amazon space. This is just entrepreneurs. The next two are on the power of writing and building on Twitter. And the last two are powerful personal realizations on the value of spending $68,000. Let's dive in. To start, I noticed three immediate differences between those making over $10 million per year and those making less. One, ruthlessly prioritizing. Two, thinking positive sum. Three, obsessing over operational excellence. Here's an example from each so I can remember them in the future. Number one, everyone making $10 million per year was ruthlessly focused. Most people there were solving problems they didn't yet have. They work on minor problems and close small loops because it feels productive, but doesn't move the needle. Here's what the big players do instead. Okay, so he's saying everyone making $10 million was very focused, but most of the people there who were not 10 million were solving problems they didn't even have yet. They were focused on very minor things and they felt good about it to close the loop, but they weren't really getting anywhere. Here's what the big players do instead. The big players attend the event for one reason, to identify and solve their current bottleneck. Everything else was irrelevant. And the second they saw the path forward, they stopped attending other presentations and simply got to work. Easy to see why they're successful. Everyone making $10 million per year obsessed over operational excellence. I overheard two types of conversations. The first was about marketing tactics, lifestyle gossip, quick hacks. I bet you can guess this was from the small players. But the big players had conversations around retaining talent, mission and values, managing teams, running better meetings, having hard conversations. They were focused on building a standard of high performance, and that high performance culture made $10 million a year inevitable. everyone making $10 million per year acted and thought positive sum. Most people in this space think zero sum. If they have a tactic that works, they tell no one. If they see others thriving, they feel threatened. Never works in the long run. The big players, on the other hand, they were actively sharing what was working, rooting for everyone's success. And done over multiple years, this positively compounded their reputation. On top of that, everyone else shares what's working back to them. And on their flywheel spins. Put concisely, small players have promotions, big players have businesses. I'll be internalizing those lessons to help take us to that $10 million level in the next 12 months. And then he shares some other things really about Twitter, how it's ahead of other platforms. There were 300 entrepreneurs there, less than five were actively writing on Twitter. Likely no one there knew how to use ChatGPT. A few presentations had one sentence prompts that generated middle school output, and everyone lost their mind. And that's the upside of Twitter. The information here is on the cutting edge, and no one else is tapping into it. And five, he says, everyone there wants an organic content business. Unfortunately, no one wants to write organic content every single week for 3 years. It takes longer, but it's more lucrative in the long run, but they don't have the time because they're stuck on a paid ad hamster wheel. So he's saying how people are not utilizing content enough in their business. He also says, lastly, two powerful realizations on the power of masterminds. Once you reach $1 million per year, the highest leverage time is spent out of your normal environment, thinking on the business. It's hard to zoom out and see the big picture when your face is stuffed into a computer screen. And I realized this after boarding the flight. I had more ideas in the first 24 hours than I had in the prior 6 weeks. Suddenly I saw what to prioritize, what we should stop doing, new opportunities to pursue later. Impossible to do this at my desk, so I'll be taking these kind of trips into my calendar regularly. And the last thing he says, the most valuable investment you can make is figuring out ways to normalize the people ahead of you. Almost everyone else at this mastermind generated more revenue than my business, and I went in looking for the secrets to take us to the next level. But turns out they were just regular people. They weren't smarter, more creative, or harder working. They had simply been executing better, playing the game longer, stringing together good decisions, learning from those ahead of them. And this realization was worth millions to me. And I think you can absolutely, you know, if this was an Amazon conference, right, you would absolutely think this guy could have gone to an Amazon conference, because I totally agree that, you know, you need to think beyond the small hacks and tactics and focus on operations of a business, product development, focus, prioritizing, building systems, building teams, operational excellence. You know, these are the kind of things that move a business forward. I thought that was a great post and wanted to share with you. Hope you got a lot out of this podcast. I hope to see you in person somewhere soon. I'll also be in Israel on June 19th. There is a conference put on by Fortunate, and I believe it's called Scale for Retail or Ecom Scale. I'm not sure the exact name, but it's in Israel. You can find it on social media. If you search Fortunate, or if you look at some of my posts, you'll find me posting a link to it. And so if you're there, I hope to see you there in person. And I will see you on the next episode. I do have a couple other episodes I'll be posting soon. So you will see more regular content. I will see you on the next episode of the E-commerce Mindset Podcast.